Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore, or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. And now, may you be blessed as you give attention to the reading of God's Word.
At this time, I would invite you to stand as you are able to honor the reading of the Scripture. Our Scripture this morning is taken from Romans 12, verses 17 through 21. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God's blessing be added to the reading, hearing, and doing of this word. Please be seated.
My name is Andrew Conard. I'm one of the pastors here. It's a joy to join you as a part of this worship service. And for those of you who are worshiping online, it's great to be with you today. A special invitation for those of you who are worshiping online. If you'd like to, you can follow us on Twitter. You can find a link on the right-hand side of the page there for you. Today, we're in the midst of a series of sermons on wrath. And this is something that's a part of who we are as a culture. It's something that permeates who we are. Now, part of my experience with wrath and anger comes as part of my role as a congregational care pastor. It's my primary role here at the church, and I experience and speak with people that are experiencing anger. I have primary care for those whose last names begin with N through R, but also seeking to provide care and guidance for each of you. Most oftentimes, most Sundays at 10:45, I'm at the Student Center leading the Vibe worship service, but it's a joy to be with you here today. As I said, wrath has been a part of our culture, and I've really seen evidence of that in the stories of the election in Iran. I don't know if you've been following this story or not, or seen one of the many photos of the protests that are happening in that place. But I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I can tell you one thing for sure. There's anger that's present. There's anger at injustice. There's anger that leads to violence. There's anger that goes off quickly, and there's anger that has been simmering for a long time. Another experience that I've had with anger this week was Friday. My wife Nicole and I went to go see a movie, X-Men Origins. Now, Nicole was nice enough to go to this movie with me. It was one that I liked more than she did. But part of that story, the main character, Wolverine, is played by Hugh Jackman. And this is a character that is filled with anger. It is part of his personality. It's part of who he is, and it shapes the plot of the movie. So these two things have been shaping the message today. I want to remind you that we're in the middle of a series of sermons in which we've been discussing the seven deadly sins. We began several weeks ago when we started looking at lust and greed, gluttony, sloth, wrath. Next week, pride, and then envy after that. The list of seven deadly sins was originally developed by monks in the 4th century. This list has been handed on to us as a way of helping understand our brokenness as human beings. Sin is the condition, the human condition, of separation from God that arises from the opposition to God's purposes. Sometimes it comes from breaking God's laws, acting against God's will, or simply rebelling against God. You might wonder, well, why are we considering these really in church? Well, the main reason that we're looking at these sins is so that we can recognize them in our own lives, so that we can claim them and turn away from them and turn back to God. So that's why we're considering these sins, so then we can repent and turn away. As we begin, I'd like to invite you to take out of your bulletin your GPS guide. If you're watching online, we invite you to find a piece of paper that you can take some notes on today. The GPS guide is a guide for you to pray and study during the week. It will give a list of scriptures to study and also prayers for you to pray, and invite you to do that this week. Today in the message, I'll be referencing several of the scripture passages that you'll have an opportunity to study later in the week. So I invite you to help make those connections for you today as well. I want to give you an outline for where we're headed today, and so you might be helped out on where we're headed. Well, first, we're going to ask the question, what is anger? We're going to examine anger in our own lives and in the stories of Scripture, seeking to understand, well, what is it, really? Next, we're going to examine some of the effects of anger. If we discover what it is, well, what are some of the effects that anger has in our life, both positive and negative? We'll briefly consider God's wrath and the reality of God's anger, and then we'll move to considering an antidote, or how we respond to anger in a way that doesn't lead to sin. Now, I want to begin by reminding you that the Latin, this list of seven deadly sins, was originally in Latin. And the word for wrath is ira, I-R-A, from which we get the English word irate. Now, wrath and irate are very strong words that I think of. This is an extreme emotion that I have a hard time connecting with that sometimes. Sometimes I do, but I want you to know that when I'm talking today about wrath or anger, I'm going to use the word anger to really refer to this whole spectrum of sin, from irate, anger, to maybe just frustration or annoyance. Now, this sin of wrath is the root of many other kinds of sin. And as we're considering these seven deadly sins, you know that this isn't the entire list of ways to sin. Now, many of you probably know a lot of different kinds of ways to sin. Well, maybe not you, but you know there are different ways to sin. But these are particularly deadly, and they make an impact in our life. Well, first, let's consider, what is anger? Anger is an emotion. It's a feeling that we have. And it's part of our nature as human beings. It's part of our God-given emotions. Anger just is. It's what we do with it that makes it deadly or not. We can be angry when someone says something or does something to us that we think is wrong. When someone has hurt us and we need to protect ourselves. Sometimes anger comes from envy or pride. One of these other sins that we'll be considering in the next couple weeks. We see anger in ourselves, and we can see it in other people. It's an emotion. And today I want to invite you to consider two different kinds of anger to help us understand how this is real in our lives. The first type of anger that I'd like to invite you to consider is the kind that's slow, that simmers inside. And I want you to invite you to think about it as like a crock pot. You know one of these. This is something that you can use to cook dinner. It's great. I love cooking dinner in a crock pot. One of the things about it is you take the plug and you plug it in the morning and you turn it on and it slowly simmers throughout the day. The crock pot doesn't produce a lot of heat right away, but over a long period of time it simmers along and stays inside. Now, I invite you to think about this type of crockpot anger, the anger that you have inside that doesn't maybe get expressed very much. It just stays inside and stays with you and starts to change your soul in ways that aren't helpful. I wonder if you experience crockpot anger. I know that I do sometimes. One of the ways that I experience crockpot anger is in chores around the house. Now, my wife, Nicole, and I do a pretty good job about balancing things around the house. When it comes to laundry, I'll wash it and put it in the dryer, and she will fold it and put it away. When it comes to doing the dishes, I'll put the dishes in the dishwasher and get it started, and then she'll unload them and put them away. My problem with crockpot anger comes when she doesn't get things done quite as fast as I think they might be. Now, I don't know if any other couples struggle with this, about household chores around the house, but I know it's unrealistic for me to expect that the dishes be unloaded the minute that they're done. But sometimes I allow myself to get a little frustrated and a little bit annoyed. And if I don't let it out, suddenly there's an anger that's simmering like a crock pot inside of me. This type of anger is also a part of family systems. You may know of a family, or it may be your own family, where there's anger that exists just below the surface, anger that no one talks about, anger that's been a part of family for generations. We're afraid of naming it, or afraid of the effects that it might cause. You might be angry at a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, or an uncle. Maybe there's anger directed towards someone that's not even alive anymore. This type of crockpot anger that simmers just below the surface can affect individuals and can also affect families. I wonder if you experience this type of anger. This is true not only in our own lives, but it's also true in the stories of Scripture. I want to remind you of the story of Jonah. Now, Jonah is a character in the Old Testament who's sent by God to Nineveh. And Jonah's task at Nineveh is to preach to them and ask them to repent. But Jonah has another idea. He heads in the very opposite direction. But while he's headed in the opposite direction, God finds him out. He gets thrown overboard into the sea. A big fish swallows him up. He's eventually spit out onto dry ground. And then he finally decides to go to the place that God has called him. Well, the story goes that Jonah goes to the place. He preaches the good news of God and calls the people to repentance. And they actually do. Now, Jonah was not expecting this. In fact, it makes him angry that they've repented. So what does Jonah do? He preaches to the people, calls for their repentance. They do. Well, he goes outside the city and sets up a tent and sits there to wait and see what happens. Now, he's not waiting to see the good that might come in this community as a result of them turning back to God. Jonah is waiting to see what God might do to them to punish them for their sin. Jonah allowed this type of crockpot anger to simmer inside of him and take over his life. Household chores or family systems, the story of Jonah. We don't like to recognize anger in our life, but it is real. Take a few moments and ask yourself, in what ways is crockpot anger real in my life? There's another type of anger that I'd like to consider. You know this kind. It's the kind that goes off in a second. It explodes, and it's like the stick of dynamite. You may see this from Wile E. Coyote or cartoons or other shows. But the thing about dynamite is that it goes off with an explosion. It may have a short fuse or it may have a longer fuse, but once it's lit, you know it's going to be bad news. You know it's going to explode. This is the type of anger that you can't help but notice. Whether it comes out in yourself or whether you see it in other people, this anger explodes and you can't miss it. You might think of this. I was speaking to someone last week as they knew I was preparing for a sermon on wrath and on anger and asked, well, you know, what's your experience of this? And they said, well, you've driven, haven't you? I said, yes, I've driven on the road. They said, well, when someone cuts you off and you have that instant of anger and you just want to honk your horn or say a few choice words, or this is the anger that comes up in a second. Road rage is an example of that. Another example of this dynamite anger is maybe you get an email from someone that either completely misunderstood what you said before, or maybe they say something that you just don't agree with. You hit reply, type out a message of anger, and hit the send button. There, I said it. Take that. This is that dynamite anger. It comes up in a flash. You can't help but notice. In its more violent form, this dynamite anger leads to crimes of passion, murder, assault, anger that is violent. Now, one of the things about this type of anger is that it also helps us recognize when our boundaries are being crossed. For those who may be experiencing abuse, you feel anger in a flash when you know that your boundaries have been violated. And this is good. It helps give a warning to help protect you. This dynamite anger, it goes off in a flash. Now, this story is not just true for our lives today. It's also true in the stories of Scripture. And you remember in Genesis where the story of Adam and Eve were the very first human beings that God created. In Genesis chapter 4, we read of Cain and Abel. These are the sons of Adam and Eve. And you'll get a chance to examine this story more on Monday as a part of the GPS guide. Well, Cain and Abel, the story goes like this. Cain is a farmer. He grows crops in the field. And his brother Abel is a rancher. He raises animals and herds them. And each of them bring an offering to God. Cain brings some of the crops from his field, and Abel brings the choicest meat of the firstborn of his flock. They bring them before God, and we read that God accepts Abel's offering, but doesn't accept Cain's. Cain is not happy about this. In fact, Cain is very angry. He's so angry that God notices, and God comes to him and says, Cain, why are you angry? You know that when you're angry, sin is crouching at your door. God gives him a warning that his anger can lead to sin, but he doesn't listen. We don't even hear Cain's response. The next thing we read in Scripture, the very next verse, is that Cain has invited his brother Abel into the fields, and there in the fields he kills him. Cain murders his brother in an expression of dynamite anger. Road rage and an angry email, abuse or boundary violations, the story of Cain and Abel. This dynamite anger is not something that we like to recognize in our own lives, but you know that sometimes it's there. I wonder how you've experienced dynamite anger in your own life. Dynamite anger and crockpot anger, these things are a part of our human condition. Anger is an emotion that we can express in different ways. But what are the effects of anger? Today, I want you to consider three possible effects of anger. One is that anger leads to isolation. The second is that anger may lead to positive action. And the third is that anger can lead to revenge. Let's look first at isolation. I know when I'm angry at someone, I don't want to have any part of any kind of conversation. I don't want to see that person. I just want to avoid them completely because it's a whole lot easier for me to not see them and not talk to them and just be angry at them. I isolate myself from someone that I'm angry with. Now, you may know of someone in your own life that people describe as, that's just an angry person. They're angry at maybe the whole world, it seems like. Nothing really goes right. They're angry at other people. They're not a part of a community. They've isolated themselves with their anger. I know that anger helps us lose the capacity to reconcile. Anger does not want to be healed. Anger doesn't need to be in relationship to exist. As one of the care pastors here, I've had the opportunity to care for some very angry people here at this congregation. And it's brokenness in relationship that exists. I've seen anger that takes over people's lives, and instead of using their energy for good and fruitful things, it's anger that has isolated them from other people, and nearly all their energy goes to feeding and nurturing that anger. Anger can isolate us. I wonder when you've experienced anger leading to isolation. Anger doesn't always lead to sin, though. While there's certainly negative effects to our anger, we read in Scripture that it doesn't necessarily always happen that way. The author of Ephesians writes these words, which you'll be able to study more closely in the GPS guide this week. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. In your anger, do not sin. Well, this is clear that there's not a direct correlation between being angry and sinning. In fact, anger can sometimes lead to things that are positive. How we respond to anger is what makes a difference, as it's part of our natural emotions. Righteous indignation is a type of anger that's directed towards injustice and can lead to positive action. For example, there's enough food in the world to feed everyone, but people die of starvation every day. This makes me angry. It's not right. And it leads me to action. Another example of this is the organization MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Even the word itself, MAD, relates to anger. But this is an organization that was formed in 1980 as a result of a mother who had lost a child to a drunk driver. It's anger that's led to positive action and positive results in the world. So anger can lead to isolation, but it may lead to positive action. And anger can also lead for us seeking revenge. Now, you know about revenge. It's something where we seek to take action for a wrong that someone has done to us. I'm angry and someone else is going to hurt for it. This is when on the highway when you feel like someone's cut you off and you tail them as close as you can for the next couple exits until they finally exit the highway. Revenge is when you seek or wish physical harm upon someone or even seek to do that yourself. Revenge is purposely hurting someone with your words. Sometimes when you're in an argument, you can get hurt and you feel it. It makes you angry and you want to jab back with something that you know is going to hurt the other person. Revenge might feel good for a while, and I want to recognize that. Man, revenge can feel good. It feels like you're bringing some sort of justice. But I can tell you that revenge is never justice, and revenge never leads to a positive outcome. For revenge seeks to harm another person. It doesn't seek to lead to any type of reconciliation. If you're angry and you're considering revenge, I invite you to consider this question. Is it more important that I'm right, or is it more important that I seek reconciliation? Is revenge really going to lead to something positive? For we know that revenge is ultimately not for us, but it's for God. Let me remind you of the portion of the scripture that was read this morning earlier. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to revenge, I will repay," says the Lord. Revenge is God's responsibility, not ours. And we read and we know from earlier that we can express our anger, but we shouldn't seek to take revenge. Seeking to take revenge is ultimately seeking to harm someone as a result of our anger. Ultimately, God is in charge of that. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need to take action sometimes when we feel angry. But it does mean in things that we're out of that we can't control, sometimes in individual situations, we need to give our will over to God, not seek revenge, and trust that God will care for that. Two kinds of anger, crockpot and dynamite. Several possible effects: isolation, positive action, and revenge. Well, what about God's anger? The passage that we just read referenced that God's anger or God's wrath. Out of the seven deadly sins, anger is one of the only ones that is clearly attributed to God in the scriptures. We don't read of God being lustful or slothful or gluttonous. But we do hear about God's anger. Well, what's different? How do we make sense of that? If this is one of the seven deadly sins, how do I make sense of this anger? Well, one of the more famous stories of God's anger in Scripture is found in the stories of Jesus. In the Gospels, in fact, this story is found in all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the story of Jesus in the temple, in which he goes into the temple and sees people cheating the worshipers who have come there, people selling goods and changing money and not treating them fairly. These people have come to worship God, and they're being cheated. Jesus is angry. He throws over their tables and drives them out of the temple, physically drives them out of the temple. This is anger that's directed towards sin. Some theologians say that this scene is even eventually one of the main reasons that Jesus was crucified. And in this story, we see the main difference in God's anger. And that is that God's anger is always directed towards sin. Our anger can be directed in many different ways: at other people, at things that are actually good, or things that are bad. But God's anger is always directed at sin. Sin is that human condition of separation from God that comes up when we oppose God's purposes, breaking God's law, going against God's will, breaking relationship. God is angry, yes, but God is angry at sin. Those things that draw us away from God and away from other people. While God may be angry at sin, This is not one of the overwhelming characteristics of God. In fact, the psalmist writes these words, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." Slow to anger and rich in love. God may be angry at sin, but God is slow to anger. And God is rich in love. This is the primary characteristic of God, God's love. God created us not that we could be, not so that he could be angry at us, but so that God could love us and we could return that love to God. This is the overwhelming characteristic of God, that God loves us, cares for us, and seeks for us to turn from our sin. And when we turn from our sin, when we flee from that, we find ourselves coming closer to God. When we turn away from God's anger, we're turning away from sin and turning back to God. So how do we do that? How do we know when we're sinning and when it will lead to anger and when it might lead to positive outcomes? I want to give you just a few tips that might be helpful in this as you consider these things this week, and I invite you to write them down as we go through them. The first is count to 10. This is very simple advice, and you've probably heard it before, but it's actually true. If you are angry and you feel the anger coming up inside of you, man, just stop and just count to 10. That time that you take may not get rid of all of your anger. In fact, at the end of that 10, you may still be angry, and that's very possible. But I can tell you for sure that at the end of that 10, you're going to be able to respond in a way that's more rational and more helpful than immediately. And if you count to 10 and you may find yourself that, which is the next tip, just don't say it. Don't say it. Maybe this thing that you're thinking about saying to the other person, maybe this email that you're thinking about sending, maybe it's better if you just don't say it. You might ask someone else to read this email. You might put the email in the draft and save it for 3 days and see if you still want to send it. Figure out whether this is really going to be helpful in the situation or whether it's not. So count to 10 and you might find out it's better just to don't say it. Next, I'd encourage you to be patient. Be patient with yourself and with other people. You might experience crockpot anger that's a part of your life and has been a part of your life for a long time. It's not going to disappear overnight. And I invite you to be patient with yourself as you seek to move away from that anger. And be patient with other people, for not everyone sees the world the same way that I do. And there may be disagreements. It's okay to disagree. But be patient with each other. Be patient with yourself and with other people to avoid anger. The next thing I encourage you to do is tell someone that you're angry. And when you tell someone that's angry, the very first person that you should tell is God. Tell God that you're angry. Name it. Recognize it. Bring it before God. For God can take it. God can accept it. And if you've reached a place after bringing it to God that you feel like you can actually talk to the person that you're angry with, be very careful in the words that you use, but it might be okay to talk to that person and say how much you were angry and bring it to them in a gentle tone. For when we name it and when we claim it and we recognize it, we find that our anger starts to disappear. And if you go to speak to that person that you're angry, you might need to forgive them, which is the next thing I encourage you to do. Forgive. When you're in the midst of anger, you may need to forgive someone else. You may need to seek forgiveness from someone else. And you might need to forgive yourself. In all situations, if it has led to sin, I know for sure that we need to seek God's forgiveness. So in anger, seek to forgive and find out where it's needed in your life. Finally, I encourage you, as you brought your anger to God and sought forgiveness, pray for God's will. For ultimately, this is what causes anger, when we value our will over God's will. Ask yourself, when I'm angry and is this actually going to lead to sin or might this lead to something good? Ask yourself, what's my self-interest in this? Is my anger a result of wounded pride? Maybe envy that someone else got a position, a job, or a promotion that I should have gotten? Where is this anger coming from? Is it God's will or is it my own will that's at stake here? When you're angry, because of God's will, it might lead to justice. But when we're angry because of our own will, remember that words that God had for Cain, sin is crouching at your doorstep. When we're angry because of our own will, sin is right there, ready to take us over. After you've asked that question of yourself, I invite you to just pray the Lord's Prayer and focus on that line that says, "Thy will be done." For when we seek to turn our will over to God's will, we can find that this crockpot anger that's been simmering inside for a long time, we find that we can unplug it. And this anger that has been present for a long time can start to cool down and start to dissipate. Our crockpot anger can start to disappear. And when we seek God's will over our will, this dynamite anger that we experience, well, it's like pulling out the fuse. And suddenly something that was very dangerous and very deadly becomes just a worthless stick. God's open invitation is to accept forgiveness, to turn our will over to God's will, to be freed from the possibility of sin in our anger. So what will it be for you this week? When you experience crockpot anger, are you going to let it simmer? Will you seek to unplug it and turn your will over to God's will? If you feel a tendency towards dynamite anger that's going to explode, are you going to let that fuse burn or pull the fuse out and turn your will over to God's will? Let's pray. Oh God, there are those of us here who need to confess sin as a result of crockpot anger that's simmering inside. There are those of us here who need to confess sin as a result of dynamite anger that explodes on ourselves and other people. We confess that our anger has led us to experience isolation and to desire revenge. We know that you desire for us to be free from sin, but sometimes we hold on. In this time of prayer, in this time of quiet, we recognize the anger in our lives and we confess our sin to you. Forgive us, God. Free us from the anger that leads to sin. Help us to flee from those things that separate us from you and other people. Empower us to trust your will over ours, to release our anger. We pray all this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.